You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's Friday, and we're taking a look back at the week. President-elect Biden has made it tangible the last couple of days how the handling of this virus and thus this economy is going to change come Wednesday noon. Lots else going on this week. Of course, we'll talk about that, too, in the next six or so minutes. Six and a half, I think, technically. Gina Smilek is at the New York Times. Jordan Holman is at Bloomberg. Hey, you two.
Hey, Kai.
Hi.
So, Gina, let me start with you. The vice president, the president-elect, rather, I guess that's what we call him now, came out last night with his coronavirus relief plan, $1.9 trillion. Folks have probably seen the headlines. The thing that jumped out to me was that he wants to extend a lot of these benefits, joblessness and all of that, until September, which on the one hand is great that it's going to last that long. And on the other hand, it's scary that he's now saying out loud it's going to have to last that long.
Right, right. I guess it's the good news, bad news economy. Right, but right. Yeah, no. So I think a lot of this plan was actually pretty concentrated on this idea that we haven't got this virus under control. A lot of the focus in the first 100 days of his presidency needs to be getting this virus under control. Like, yeah. It's sort of the first basics part of this plan. You know, he includes $20 billion in the plan to roll out a national vaccine program. A lot of public health measures, you know, very, very many of the provisions of this plan are basically dealing with the reality that you have to put that public health response first.
Yeah. And Jordan, he leaned into the whole idea that, yes, this is going to cost a lot of money, $1.9 trillion. But if now, if ever there's a time to do some deficit spending, this is the time. And doing nothing would, in essence, the president-elect said, cost us more.
Right. Yeah. Biden, he said, it's hard not to see that we're in this once in several generations economic crisis. And like Gina was saying, definitely you had to get control of the virus. But what it's wreaked havoc on is state and local governments. And so putting money towards those budget shortfalls really helps the whole economy and helps so many other businesses that fall within that. So he's really just saying we have to spend a lot now just to get everything under control so it can start running again like it should.
The crazy part, though, Gina, on state and local, just to go sideways a little bit, is how uneven that hit has been across the country, right? Like here in California, we're going to have a budget surplus, right? Which 6 months ago, nobody would have said.
Yeah, it's been super interesting to watch because we saw revenues just not fall nearly as much in most places as expected. But in the places where it has fallen, it's been a pretty significant hit. And I think possibly the most important thing to keep in mind with state and local is even as we've seen a lot of states not come through this with a terrible revenue experience that we were expecting, yeah, we have seen expenses increase. And we've also seen states anticipate lower revenues in years to come. And so what we've seen is they're really reducing payroll even as some of the worst eventualities haven't come to pass. And I think that's the thing to watch and the thing to be worried about because state and localities employ like 13% of the American workforce. Yep. So if for any reason that continues, if for any reason those job cuts become permanent, I think you really worry about what that does to the labor market.
Well, Jordan, let's take it the next step, right? Because the labor market in this economy are consumers. Consumers, of course, in this economy are the whole shoot and match. And we learned this morning from the Commerce Department that retail sales were down in December. But you've been doing some other reporting, like from the National Retail Federation, which says, maybe not so bad.
Yeah, the National Retail Federation came out with their holiday sales showing that it increased by 8.3% during the holiday shopping season, so November and December. And honestly, that was a huge surprise to me when I saw that paired against the commerce data. But so let me break it down a bit.
Yeah.
It really just shows that despite everything going against consumers, the virus, you know, state restrictions, a lot of uncertainty, Americans are still going to open up their wallets. And they're going to spend online, which the retail sector has pushed so many of us to spend online. And that's where all of that, like 8.3%, is really bolstered by online sales. There was one stat that showed that online sales the past few months have led to the biggest year-over-year holiday increase this century. So that shows how important online it is.
The catch, of course, Jordan, is that we're still buying stuff, right? We're buying goods, not services.
Right. Right. And so that's what you're seeing in the commerce data, because they're also looking at the broader retail economy. So thinking about restaurants, which can't leverage online like apparel shops can.
Right. Okay. Can't let a Friday go by in a week in this economy, Gina Smilek, without talking about Jay Powell. He did a sort of a set of remarks, did a Q&A thing at Princeton, in which he said, in essence, now is not the time for us to cut back on anything we are doing. The president of the Boston Fed, Eric Rosengren, said yesterday or this morning, he believes $1.9 trillion is appropriate. The Fed is staying the course. They're all in.
Yeah, Jay Powell wanted us all to know how he really feels, which is that they are not thinking about raising rates, as he often says. Yeah. You know, I think it was interesting because there have been a couple of regional presidents out saying things that the market was interpreting as a little bit hawkish. And folks had started to kind of whisper about, you know, whether we were going to see rate hikes a little bit earlier than expected, or more importantly, and I think more pressingly, whether we were going to see a pullback in massive bond purchases. And Jay Powell came out and said, absolutely not. We are not talking about that. When we are going to talk about that, we will tell you. We will like broadcast that we are beginning to have that conversation, and we are nowhere near there yet. So, you know, patience remains.
It's just so interesting how clear he is trying to be, right, Gina?
Yeah, pretty unambiguous.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let me now, Jordan, I'm going to get each of you on a subjective question, and it kind of goes like this, and I do it from time to time, haven't done it in a while. What's your gut telling you about the next 6 to 8 months in this economy, Jordan? You go first.
This is a good question. I think what it's telling me is once we get out the door with these direct stimulus to consumers, yeah. that will really start putting into place what we were seeing in early 2020 and getting back to, you know, 2019 levels, that people will start feeling really confident to spend, but everything kind of has to work as yeah. it should. Yeah. So we have to get the virus under control, and we have to put into place that people will feel comfortable spending. And if so, things could work out.
That's pretty optimistic. Gina Smilek, you get the last word.
I think that this is such an uncertain economy over the next 6 to 8 months. And what I mean by that is I can make a really compelling case for why we're going to see a roaring 20s boom over the next 6 to 8 months as all these folks who have tons of savings get to spending them, and we have fiscal stimulus hitting and interest rates are low and all these good things are happening. I can also make a case that vaccines don't roll out fast enough, the virus remains a sort of lingering problem, and the global backdrop is really negative. And so you don't see that at all. And so I think I could tell a compelling case that is like, this is not a good economy, or this is a gangbusters economy. And I don't have high confidence in either of those outcomes.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I guess we'll leave it in suspense then at the end of a Friday afternoon. Gina Smilek at the New York Times, Jordan Holman at Bloomberg. Thanks, you too.
Thanks, Kai.
Thanks.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.